Well, greetings to each of you, and welcome back to the Shakedown, a podcast about corrections, for corrections, and by corrections. Good to be with you. I'm your host, Aaron Dawson. If this is your first time being with us, welcome to the Shakedown. I hope that you enjoy this episode. And if, as I said, if this is your first episode to be with us, go to the website, theshakedown.org. Check out some of the prior episodes, and then last season, season one. I'm sure you'll find all kinds of information in there that I hope will be beneficial to you. You can also view this on YouTube. You go to YouTube and you search the Shakedown Podcast, and there will be all the episodes there for you to view. And as I said, glad to have you with us. Want to make mention, before we get into today's topic, how many of y'all feel like you can always use some more training? Yeah, me. Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Well, I'm here to tell you that not only do you have the topics that we talk about here on the Shakedown, and hopefully those topics encourage you to do some research on your own, go do a little bit of digging, whether that be in book format or whether that be starting with a Google search and pursuing some of these topics that way. But I wanted to make you aware of a resource that is available to you. Nigel has available to you an online training academy known as Dakota. You can go to their website, jailtraining.org, and you can find it under one of the drop-down menus under resources. You can find the Dakota Online Academy, and there is a host of topics available there for you to dig into and gain some more knowledge, gain some more expertise in the field of corrections. Something that is pretty awesome that they offer. Different states have different methods of officers acquiring certification as an officer. Some just do that on the enforcement side. Some offer that in the correction side as far as a DOC or Department of Corrections framework. And there are a few states that do offer it for jail officers, and there are quite a few states that do not offer that as far as jail officers are concerned. Well, one thing that Nigel offers through their Dakota Online Academy is that you can earn a national certification if you meet the requirements. There's a nationally certified corrections officer level. There's a nationally certified corrections supervisor level, and there's a nationally certified corrections executive level. So go online, jailtraining.org, check out the Dakota Academy, check out the certification opportunities that are there, and jump into that and make use of that as best you can. But now to get to the topic at hand today. As we said with the last episode, March being Women's History Month, we are focusing on some folks, some ladies in the field of corrections that are filling leadership positions, that are filling leadership roles, influential roles, and getting a little bit from their perspective, a little bit from their stories, to see if there's some things that that we can glean, that we can gain from their experience. Last week, we talked to Miss Natasha Goins from Jennings County Sheriff's Office in North Vernon, Indiana. Enjoyed the opportunity we had to be with her, and hope that you enjoyed that interview. Today, we're going to be meeting and interviewing Major Deanne Cash from Forsyth County Sheriff's Office in Cumming, Georgia. She is the jail bureau commander there, and I'm excited about this interview. Miss Cash, she's got over 30 years of experience in law enforcement. She did 31 years with the Clayton County Sheriff's Office. She retired as a major there at the end of 2017. And then following retiring from the Clayton County Sheriff's Office, she was hired by Forsyth County to be the jail bureau commander there in 2018. So looking forward to talking to her, looking forward to seeing what she has to offer to you and I as far as her experiences and her knowledge. So without further ado, let's get to the interview. All right. Well, it is good to be back with you today. And as I mentioned earlier, here with Major Deanne Cash, welcome to the Shakedown, Major Cash.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
good to have you with us. And of course, we're in the middle of Women's History Month. And in light of that, kind of profiling some leaders in the corrections field that also happen to be women. And so you came very highly recommended. So glad that you were able to be with us. But just to get the ball rolling, and for those who may not know anything about you, why don't you just kind of give us a little background of how you ended up where you're at today?
Okay, well, I always wanted to be in law enforcement. That was never a given, you know, my whole entire life. That's what I'm going to do. So that's where I ended up. So in June of 1986, I started working for Clayton County Sheriff's Office, which is a large metro county sheriff's office just south of Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
And worked my way up the ranks from deputy to major, the jail administrator, over the jail, which we housed approximately 1,700 inmates.
Okay.
Hold around 2,000. So, yeah, throughout my career, got to do many things, you know, being on the road, working in crime scenes. But I ended up in corrections, and that's what I loved. Got to build a jail from the ground up, and that just kind of sealed the deal right there. Yes. Plenty of ownership when you build it from the ground up.
Yes.
The last year I was at Clayton getting ready to retire after the 31 years I was there, got a call from a mutual friend, said, "Hey, Forsyth County in Georgia is looking for a jail administrator." I said, "Well, you know, long story short, I ended up in Forsyth County as a jail administrator. So here I am." So it going from a 2,000 bed jail to a 600 bed jail with 350 inmates, big difference.
Yes.
Big difference. Yes. This is the fun time of life.
So, how long did you actually, quote unquote, stay retired? Was the transition period there?
6 weeks. That was long enough for me to move up here.
A whole 6 weeks. Wow.
Six weeks. Yeah. Because when Sheriff Freeman asked, "Hey, you know, all right, will you take the job? Will you come up here?" I said, "Sure. Just give me time to move. I will not drive back and forth from Forsyth County to Clayton County because that would be a traffic nightmare."
Right.
You know, 3 hours on the road every day just don't sound good.
No.
So I moved up here, and this is where I'm at now. And I've been here 5 years.
Awesome. Now, when you got started in your career, did you think, or did you have the thought of corrections being an end result, or was that kind of something that developed over the course of your career?
It developed over the course. Well, actually, what sealed the deal for the sheriff's office, I was like 19 and had jury duty. And I'd been thinking, "Police, police, police." And I see them bringing in all these inmates chained together. And I'm like, "Oh, no, that's what I want to do." So then I went to the sheriff's office. So, yes, I think being in corrections is a calling.
Yes.
And so over the years, I found out that's what my calling was. And that's what I was good at. And so you do what you're supposed to do.
That's right. So of the 31 years you were at Clayton County, how much of that was focused on corrections?
At least 20 of those years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, good deal. Well, in the course of your career, do you feel like you faced any challenges in the process of it? And those challenges specifically because you're a woman. Do you feel like you faced any of those kind of challenges?
Well, absolutely. In 1986, there were very few workplace guidelines on harassment or, you know, even use of forces, you know, with the inmates. So at that point, you just have to figure out in your mind, if I want this career, then I just have to deal with it. And that's what the women did. There were very few women that worked there when I started working there. And it grew over the years, but it took five women suing Clayton County for that training to even start. They'd had enough of it. of the men, the cartoons, the way, you know, you were just treated. So that's when, okay, that's when they buckled down and started doing all the sexual harassment training and just any kind of training, whether it be in, you know, male, female, black, white, religious, any of that is when that started. Before then, you just sucked it up. And then, of course, as a female, and I'm sure all the females can relate, that when you're in a man's job, you think you have to work twice as hard to prove yourself. Mm-hmm. So you end up trying to prove yourself the whole time that you're good enough to be there. And that is probably, and I think this still goes on today. Even in this day and time, it's still a man's job. And women still feel like, okay, I've got to be able to fight. I've got to be able to shoot better than them. I need to be able to just outdo them and everything.
Sure. Sure. And so you feel like that in your time with Clayton County and then now with Forsyth County, that you have seen great strides take place in that direction.
Absolutely. Probably 40-45% of the people that my deputies that work for me in the jail are female now. The rank, I've got, you know, female lieutenants, corporals, you know, so I see now, and I think in corrections, yes, you have to have men, you have to have that strength. Nobody's pretending like we're not the muscle people.
Right.
But a lot of inmates, especially men, react different to women than they do men, especially the inmates, clientele that I had, like at Clayton, that grew up without a father figure, that was raised by their grandmother. And they had much more respect for the women than they did for the men.
Yes, I have seen numerous times firsthand where you could have multiple male officers trying to control an inmate, and you know you're fixing to have to fight this guy. There's no way around it. A female officer walks in, sticks her finger out, and tells him, "You shut your face and get in your cell." Head goes down. "Yes, ma'am." And they walk off. You're going, "What is that?"
Right. Or I told him the other day, I said, "I talked to your mama, and she's very disappointed. And she said, you need to shut your mouth." "Yes, ma'am." You know.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's the women very much have a place in corrections for that reason.
Right.
They do. And just knowing how to talk to someone.
Sure.
Absolutely. As you're talking to your child, but they're an adult. Mother figure.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Awesome. Well, in thinking and preparing for this interview, something that I've always, anytime I have an opportunity to interview or talk to somebody that in the field of corrections, I always love to ask this question. Looking back on your career and knowing what you know now on this side of it, is there anything that you would have liked to have known at the start of your career that you know now that you wish somebody had come along and said, "Hey, sit down a minute. Let me tell you something."
The first thing would be how to deal with your money. If I'd had somebody at 22 sit down and say, "This is what you need to do."
Okay.
You know, just the mere fact of, when you're that young, thinking about retirement, you don't.
Right.
You know, right. I would have liked for somebody who said, it's okay not to know the answer. Cops want to be right. They want to know everything. Yes. They don't know. They don't know how to say, "I don't know."
Right.
But it's okay if you don't know.
Right. Yes.
It's okay to tell your boss, "I don't know, but let me go find out."
Right.
You know, it's okay to respect yourself, to know your worth, and know to stand your ground, to do what you know is right. Don't think you have to follow the crowd because that's what you're supposed to do. It absolutely, to have a mentor to tell you those things.
Yes.
First coming in, we try to do that here. We sit them all down and we say, "Okay, this is what we expect." I'm very big on keep your mouth shut. I don't want to hear the cussing.
Right.
We're not doing that. We're not. I don't want to hear it when you stand with your buddies, and I certainly don't want to hear a female saying it because it's just not very attractive. You can get your point across. I've been doing it 37 years, and I don't have to cuss anybody out. You get your point across without doing that.
Yes.
So just don't lose your respect and to know what your worth is in this job.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you. That is, you brought out some things there that I had not heard as an answer before. So that is fantastic.
That's good.
So as a leader, and you can refer this both with the previous agency and the larger facility and then now, what do you feel like as a leader your greatest challenge is?
My greatest challenge is trying to get these people to understand that I am not responsible for their attitude and their happiness.
Yes.
As long as we're providing you with a safe environment, a clean environment, you get your days off, you know, but I'm not responsible for making you happy every day. If you're looking for me to make you happy, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Some point, you got to get out of bed and choose to be happy that day and to have a good day attitude. I mean, I've worked for a lot of sheriffs.
Right.
And I just had to choose to go in and do my job. And I've told one before, you know, if you'd have given me the same chance as you are now the first day, I would have worked just as hard for you. It's not about who the sheriff is or my boss is. It's about your work ethic.
Right.
Have a good work ethic. So keep your good work ethic. Don't try to impress me. Don't try to impress yourself.
Yes.
So getting these people now to learn that it's up to you.
Right.
It's how you choose to think about your job each day.
Right.
I can't do that. I can't make you happy.
Right.
I can do whatever I can to make this a great work environment. But if you hate your job, there's nothing I can do about it.
Yes.
It is your attitude.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I think that just which what I'm about to say kind of leads into the next question I've got for you is that, you know, there seems to be, you know, and I don't know if it's a cultural shift, you know, make myself sound like the old guy in the conversation, but in the cultural shift that there is such a focus on happiness, like you said, that everything in life is supposed to be, is supposed to contribute to my personal happiness. So the expectation is if I work for you, therefore, by proxy, you're supposed to contribute to my happiness, which in reality, I mean, jails are usually not the happiest of places by design, you know? So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's why you have to figure out early on if this is what you want to do.
Right.
Because if you don't want to do it, then please go find somewhere else to work.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to be miserable. Everybody's going to be miserable. And you're going to make bad decisions and bad things are going to happen.
Yes. Yes. And then the frustration that you're causing the other employees who do want to be there.
Yes.
But, you know, you're an Eeyore walking through the halls. So.
Yes.
So in light of that, in your opinion, what do you feel like the greatest challenge facing the profession as a whole today is?
I think because it all ties together with this generation and even older. Now, what I used to think was older is not. I am. And there's a whole another generation in there. But finding the maturity level to deal with this. People that come in think they're, a lot of them are on a pathway to get to the road. And so they kind of, in our agency, that's one way you can choose to go.
Okay.
Or you can stay here. And we have our own correctional side of rank. So, but still find the maturity level to try to get these people to understand you are responsible for these people's lives.
Yes.
You got to feed them. You got to get the medication. You got to get them to court. You got to get the clothes changed. You got to make sure nobody's harassing. You are responsible for their life. It's not an easy job. It's a very adult, mature job.
Right.
And it's very hard to get them to understand that. They think they're just supposed to come in here and sit for 12 hours.
Right. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. We try very hard to help these people mm-hmm. here. We have our own RSAT, which is our Residential Substance Abuse Treatment Program. It's an IMS okay. program. The state has it. We have a grant. We do our own for male and females. I mean, they're training dogs. They're making T-shirts. We will do whatever we can to help you. We have church services. Now that COVID's over, we're getting AA back in here. We will do whatever we can to help you if you're willing to help yourself.
Right.
But we've got to get the deputies and the correction people on board to see that you've got to be a part of that. We don't want you coming in here seeing this as a job. We want you to see this as a career. We yes. want you to see as most of these people are going out the front door. You're going to see them again.
Right.
You might want to remember that. It's kind of like, don't tick off the people that's cooking your food.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's a whole mindset that we try to get these people to get that it's a very adult job. It is a very much part of law enforcement because we do want these people to leave. Don't let people say, oh, you just work in the jail. No.
Yes.
This is the most important place in the sheriff's office. And we're full service. We do everything.
Right.
But it's the most important place in the sheriff's office. And getting the people to take that ownership sometimes is hard. This is your building.
Right.
Ownership. You don't have to do what the guys on the road say if it's not what we're supposed to be doing. Tell them no. Because then what? Tell them to go wait in the car. Right. You come in, we say you can come in. This is your building. Do it safe. Do it right. But know that you're making a difference. But getting that maturity level, it's very hard to find people that want to do that. It's a rare breed of people that want to come in this building every day and deal with inmates.
Facts.
Yes. Our sheriff will tell anybody and everybody that we have the hardest job in his agency. And he makes no bones about it. And he knows we have the hardest job.
Good. Well, got one more question for you. I know we, in talking to people that listen to the podcast and frequent, we have the span. You've got those uh-huh. that have been in corrections for years. And, and then you've got those that, you know, they're just getting their feet wet, so to speak. I even had a conversation with a guy 5-6 months ago that he had a friend of his that was contemplating getting in the field of corrections. And so he told him, hey, you need to listen to this podcast, check it out and see what it's all about, which I thought that was pretty awesome. But in light of that, being that, you know, there's a large swath of the country that may never cross paths with you. You may never have the opportunity to sit down with them as a new or a young officer. What's one piece of advice that you would offer if you had the opportunity to talk to every one of them, these new and young officers? What is one piece of advice that you would offer to them?
Find a mentor. Find somebody that understands, that you can talk to when you're having a bad day. Don't bring outside inside. Don't take inside outside. Learn how to deal with your frustrations or your burnout when you just need. But just know that when you are burned out, go talk to somebody about it. In this day and time with peer counseling agencies have expanded that. Go find somebody. Go find somebody in another agency if you don't want your agency knowing your business and talk about it. We have seen so many deputies come in and after going through 3 months of JTO, all of a sudden is having a panic attack. Because either they're scared or they don't have that security anymore. So if you feel that way, find somebody to talk to. It's okay. You don't have to be Superman. You don't have to be Superwoman. You don't have to put up those walls that we were taught to put up. Deal with it, suck it up, and go on. It's okay. it's okay if you need to talk about it. Go talk about it because it could save your career before you do something stupid and lose your temper. And then you can't take it back.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Awesome. And I will tell you that is a something just personally that is a huge need in the industry. I feel like, in my opinion, like you mentioned, that mentality of, well, if I go talk to somebody, I'm weak.
Right.
And, you know, and when they don't, it's going to show up somewhere. It's going to show up at work. It's going to show up at the house. It's going to show up in traffic when somebody cuts you off. It's going to show up somewhere.
It is. Absolutely.
Well, good deal. Yes. Well, good deal, Will. Awesome. Well, thank you, Major Cash. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today and for you to share this. And guys, I hope you enjoyed the interview. And as always, stay sharp, stay safe, stay vigilant. Until next time, Godspeed.